You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 950. We've got a friend of the show returning. We've got Mark Szymanski. I've actually pronounced his surname reasonably okay. Not a total S-fart past, but reasonably good. In this show, we're going to be discussing a video post that Mark did that I think has some real relevance at the beginning of 2025. And it was, have you been in a echo chamber, you WordPress professionals? Mark had a little bit of a rant. I thought it was quite interesting. We're going to have a discussion about that and where we find the WordPress professional market at the beginning of 2025. So, Mark, would you like to give us a quick 10-20 second intro, and then when we go into the main part of the interview, I'm going to ask you to give a longer intro?
Yeah, for sure. Mark Szymanski. I currently make YouTube content about WordPress and all sorts of stuff. I've really been going through the journey over the last year and a half because I've had an agency since 2017, but just now diving in over the last year and a half to the actual community. And as you guys know, I don't have to tell you, it is very wild and wonderful. There's a lot of things to learn. So that's kind of been my last recent escapades here.
Yeah, Mark's had an eventful month. He's a bit of an amateur hockey player and ice hockey. And yeah, unfortunately, him and his team played a local Canadian team. And Mark got a little bit injured, didn't you, Mark? Basically, the Canadians weren't too happy with you, were they, Mark?
You're definitely hyping it up a lot. It was a lot less romantic or, you know, crazy than that. But yeah, I took a stick up here to the face. Luckily, we're healing up okay now. But
you are
looking rough for a while.
Well, you almost look like me. But that's what you get when you play the Canadians at the present time. So, Kurt, got my co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, I would just like to remind the listeners that bones heal and chicks dig scars. And I run Mañana No Mas. We focus largely on membership and learning websites. And I work with Jonathan at WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
Yeah, that's great. Like I say, we're going to have a fantastic discussion of where the WordPress professional web design market is at the beginning of 2025. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got a fantastic resource for the WordPress professional. We've got a list of the best plugins and services for the WordPress professional. It will save you a ton of time trawling the internet or putting AI prompts and getting a load of gibberish. You can get this fantastic free resource by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you find all the goodies there, my beloved WordPress professionals. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that particular resource. I've made a career of disappointing. No, it's a fabulous resource. and it will save you a ton of time. It's all stuff that we use at WP Tonic and we recommend. And there's some great deals from some of the major sponsors. Like I say, what more could you ask for? So, Mark, you know, you came on my radar with having an interview with Matt Medeiros, who's also a friend of the show. How do you know Matt? How did you build a relationship with Matt Medeiros? I've been trying for years, but I failed. He comes on the show every kind of 3-6 months after he's forgotten the gruesomeness of the previous experience, but he's all kept his distance from me. But I understand. I would do the same if I was him. So how was you introduced to the great Matt?
Yeah, he's a tough nut to crack. You know, I guess I'm just lucky, or I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But I think it was almost exactly a year ago. I made a video about, I just looked at the DM because I just sent it to him because it came up or something in a screenshot. And I think I made a video. I just started making, like I was saying earlier, I started making videos at late 2023 about WordPress specifically on my channel. And diving into the community and all that sort of stuff. And I think it was a live stream or something about, you know, it was some sort of live stream about some sort of current event or something like that. I think it was, might have been in response to like Brian Cords at the time, maybe something he was doing. I think was in the message that Matt sent me. He just hit me up and he's like, hey, you want to come on the show? And then, you know, kind of the rest is history there. I mean, I've been on WP Minute a bunch. Obviously, I've been here a bunch. The last year plus of my, you know, career, so to speak, has literally been trying to understand what you guys have been going through for the last, you know, however many years, 10, 20, 10, 15 years. So I've packed a lot of conversations in that amount of time.
I know I look haggard, but I'm not sure that look, it's been almost 10 years, actually. Not as long as Matt, but about 2-3 years before he was in podcasting, I got in. Into it. So what led you, I think we discussed this before, you know, I think you got a job with, I think it was a regional real estate brokerage and as their digital manager, I think, is that correct? That's how you, in a,
yep.
You really got into this area and then you run your own agency. Is that about correct?
That is it. Yeah, it was a franchise of a Remax, and it was a good experience. I was there for 3 years. I learned a lot from the other people in the like kind of the marketing and tech space that they had on staff, and then discovered WordPress there. Started building the side hustle a little bit. Left right before COVID times, and haven't had a job since. Like just been running the agency, doing the content, everything like that. Yep.
All right. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think the meat of it this week. Jonathan and I both saw your video on Have I Been in an Echo Chamber? And it was a good, you know, you were like, I'm not sure if I'm even going to put this out or not. And then we're like, of course you put it out. And because you're like some kind of content king lately. But we were both kind of taken back by it because we've had a lot of the similar kind of conversations. Like it is weird when someone says, oh, I need a website from a company, you know, that they do a needs assessment. You talk to them and how much is it going to cost? And you're like, well, that's going to be $22,000 or that's going to be $26,000. Oh, I talked to someone else. They said they could do it for $6,000. And you're like, well, good luck with that. But it is super interesting to see your perspective. And I thought we'd kind of pull some more of that out of you if we could.
For sure. Yeah. I do my weekly live stream. I just ended it. It was at 11 before this, and there's a lot of that. It was me kind of like recalibrating on everything. The high level, and we could dig into it more. The high level is that because of everything I just said, you know, the last like 5-10 minutes here, I haven't been focusing enough on the agency thing because I went so deep into like the WordPress community side. It literally has become an echo chamber for me. Not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that that's all I've been consuming. I literally only consume other WordPress creators on YouTube, and I've changed like all the inputs for the last year and a half have been like that. Now, super beneficial if you want to learn WordPress, learn the community, and really get a feel for that. That's definitely happened. However, I've really put the agency on the back burner in a lot of senses. I haven't had too many sales calls, didn't have too many sales calls in 2024. And what that has done for me is now every time I look at a website or digital marketing, I look at it from the lens of all these other technicians, essentially, is kind of like one of the motifs there, that are looking at websites, people that are live, breathe, eat, sleep, just specifically WordPress or web design. And I haven't really understood the perspective of the average business owner. And then I have a sales call like that off of a referral. And this person is like, and it's not even like they're wrong, because it's their own perception. Websites are kind of an illusion. We just need something simple. You know, you're pitching us on this $5,000 thing or whatever. We know these other guys that can do it for, $1,000. You seem like, they literally say on the call as I'm educating them, hey, you really seem like a pro in your industry. We just don't need that. And that's totally fine. But I was like on this call and I'm like, this is really interesting, because I haven't heard this type of shit like ever, is much less recently. And I'm just trying to like really get a grasp for what the actual market understands, wants, and what they perceive this, our industry, to be. And it was so enlightening.
I'm pulling faces. If you're just listening, I'm pulling faces, because all throughout my whole career, I've heard stuff like that. Well,
yeah. But yeah. I just think it's definitely, I've gotten that too. It's like, it's continue to happen, and maybe I'm learning a little bit of it now for sure. But I do think if we, move into the future, it's just going to continue to compound, I feel like, with all the extra things that are available to them now. And as we're seeing, AI technology and all that sort of stuff kind of go. So I don't know, it just got me thinking about a lot of those things.
Well, I don't think you're off the mark by much. The client has a role, just like we have a role, right? Our role as an agency is, how can we do the least amount of work for the most amount of margin, right? Like, let's just be real. Like, that's business in any framework. And then the customer's role is, how can I get the most amount of work out of this guy for the least amount of budget? Like, that's the role, right? In the negotiating role, that's the thing. But I think the verbiage that clients have become comfortable in using is somewhat of the surprise. When they start out with, well, all you got to do is, I know right away, here comes the low ball, right? All you got to do is take our existing style guide and plug it into this framework, and they make it sound like, 15 minutes, walla boom, walla bang, it's done. And it's not. And I felt in your video that you touched on a topic that's worth diving into, if we could, as a follow-up, is encouraging agencies to have a niche, to have a niche, like earlier I saw you doing a ton of stuff on dynamic websites and using custom fields and all that. And I really felt like, Wow, this guy's really going to corner the market or get to be known as the guy, the expert that can do more than a brochure site, And I think that's where a lot of agencies get stuck.
Mm-hmm. You're saying in brochure land?
I'm going to make a 5-page website. If you're going to sell 5-page templated websites and you're going to try and grow an agency that's going to scale up to $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $80,000 projects off that modality, it's probably not going to work.
I would agree with that. One of the things, after talking to people much more experienced, successful, and smarter than I am, over these last like weeks, months, even the year entirely, is that I've realized that I don't know if the low templated approach is really something that's going to be incredibly viable for much longer. And regardless of its viability, I don't know if I really like it. Like you said, Kurt, I appreciate that. That I'm the dynamic data guy. I really do love those types of things. The trouble, at least for me, is that you got to be able to sell that in a way where it's not technical. Like if I talk to somebody right now on my channel, if they understand the concepts of dynamic data, or they understand how, like what that opens the door for them, they totally get it. But you have to spin that and sell that in a way, obviously, that like is in business terms.
I think that niche, that conversation is really aimed at the WordPress professional market, not the end user market, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. There's two areas that I thought would be interesting to the listeners of this podcast. Is I see the actual end user market. I see it very similar to the car maintenance service business, that, which is a very large industry, and Kirk has experience in the motor maintenance industry, but depending on what, you know, there's an enormous DIY market in the car repair business. There's an enormous section of the market. People wouldn't even think of doing maintenance on their car. They take it to either a dealership or they take it to a secondary player that's non-franchise. And then there's a whole group of the luxury franchise dealership or more niche focus secondary market, but it's an enormously fragmented market, the car repair business, with different types of price points and users. And I see the web design industry in a similar silo. There's all, you know, in Northern Nevada, and I used to work for one, there's about 4 to 5 major digital agencies. None of them would take a job on less than 10,000. They wouldn't even look at it. They don't get all their work from Northern Nevada. They try and pitch work nationally. But they also dominate the local market at a certain price point. And then there's the other area where I think we, in the professional WordPress market, it is an echo chamber, because I'm not going to name them, but there's certain communities, certain forums, certain Slack channels that really promote, if you are involved in them or you are part of them, well, my clients are always happy and my minimum price is 12,000 and we always get good results and everything's fantastic and our onboarding process is fantastic and our clients always recommend them. I never have to do any advertising or SEO because I just get recommendations all the time and everything's fantastic. And I know it's shit. I just know it's utter crap. I can't be part of it, Mark. So what's your response to the two things I've laid out to you?
I mean, on that second portion there, yeah, I would agree. There's probably a fair amount of people. I try to be as honest as possible, you know, especially through my YouTube channel with like what I'm going through and everything like that. But I think there's a lot of people that probably just highlight the pros rather than some of the cons of this industry. Cause, you know, I think about it at a grander scale. I don't see how it could only be rainbows and butterflies, like you know you said that they, you know, you claim that they do. So I'm totally with you on that. I think
you can have the best onboarding experience, documentations, videos, but if the client, the new client, doesn't watch the videos, doesn't read any of the documentation, refuses, gives you the retainer check. And you cash it, but they what are you going to force them? Are you going to make them do a quiz to make sure that, you know, it is absolute nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I would say yeah. I mean, there's a couple of points there. I think there's ways to make those processes and those things better for you as an agency. You know, just as like the retainer check thing. Like, I mean, I would always have them have like a card on file and auto, you know, charge them for those types of things, just little mechanical things like that. But like, I mean, I just, you know, I would really ask you guys, cause I mean, you guys have more experience than I do in these areas. Like, do you think moving forward here that we're going to see more, like, do you think that the lower ticket offer websites, are they going, do you think you see those going away or the opportunity for that being less? What I personally see is I see a lot of people that want to be web designers, think they can build websites, you know, varying levels of skill and everything like that. And I'm not trying to tell people not to get into the industry, but what I am telling people, you know, I feel like part of my responsibility is, you know, if you're trying to get into this, I feel like if you're trying to just feed the absolute lowest possible requests, maybe start there, but I don't know if you can live there and actually sustain a job. Like, if you don't want to have a job and you want to have like this be your income, I don't know if I could have success there. It hasn't really worked for me. That's why I think that trying to go up market a little bit if you can, but there's a sweet spot. You can't go to like, you know, the 10 up level by yourself, you know? So I don't know what your guys' experience has been. Like, where do you guys, have a sweet spot? Do you guys have individual niches? But I think for me, it's businesses that are established and they need upgrades in this century, you know, because they have the money. So I feel like the sweet spot for me is probably like $7,500 to $20,000. And it's, you know, a business that's just churning stuff, like a construction engineering company, civil engineer, like surveying or whatever. That's not a lot of money for them because they have so many years of experience, and they're just like, you know, not maybe super duper profitable, but they keep going. They just have that legacy, and they probably have never cared about the website aspect of it, but they know that they need something better.
Yeah.
So
I personally feel the first part of that question is answered by process, is productizing something that is repeatable but personal enough that the entry-level web buyer knows that they bought something that was productized but was able to be personalized. That's something my agency does. We really address startups in a very aggressive way because I'm in a small town in Kansas. And so there's a ton of small companies here that have dysfunctional or, you know, critical error websites that they haven't fixed in years, right? And so we come in to the area and we say, here's a productized, you know, template type of offer where you come in, you change your heading, your picture, you know, your content, and we host it for you. We'll do the updates for you. We'll make sure the website stays alive. But this is a minimal offer. Like, this gets you online and gets you going. And then unlike you, from a very transparent agency perspective, I've kind of skipped over the $7,000 to $15,000 web proposals lately, because I found in the last 18 to 24 months that most people in that budget range really want a $35,000 or $50,000 website, have a $12,000 budget, and don't have the assets or the processes or the internal mechanisms to provide what I need to finish a quality product. Because it's not a templatized product anymore, right? Now it's kind of a custom product where I require information and content from them to make it successful. And typically they don't have the internal structures to make that reality come true. So it ends up being, you know, a very tense thing. When I go above that budget range, I find that I'm dealing with companies that have that internal structure, a marketing department, a style guide, and content to build off of.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, and Kirk specializes in motorsport and local in his physical area and he helps me in the educational community membership, because that's my speciality. But I think, like, anything over $3,000 to $5,000, I have paid discovery. They never really want to pay for it. But I just say to them, I can give you a quote. If you don't, we have a paid discovery process, and I give them a rough idea how much the paid discovery process would be, and we give them a detailed document, and if they accept our quotation, we will knock the discovery charge off. But if it's between $3,000 and $5,000, they pay up front, you know. I'm not going to write a 20-page discovery document. And it really has to be a very clarified project of what I'm going to give them, or what WP Tonic's going to give them, because it's linked to what Kirk said at the beginning there, which applies to all clientele, but definitely between the $3,000 to $5,000. Is that their objective is to get the most value out of you as possible. So scope creep is something that strongly has to be dealt with, because they just see it as a process of getting the maximum value out of you. Yeah. So they're going to be relentless in attempting to do that, because they're not being awful or terrible people, but that's just the realities of the situation. What do you reckon? How would you respond, Mark?
Well, I would say, first with a question, is I'm an avid learner. I have to ask the question.
I mean, what's your opinions, Mark? Come on, am I talking rubbish, or what's your own view on it?
Well, the way that I truthfully process that is that you're talking from experience. I mean, it's definitely can't be rubbish. Like, if you're not, obviously you're truthful. So like, if you're being truthful with that, then like, I don't really have anything to necessarily dispute that, which is also why, you know, I said in my live stream, you know, an hour ago that like, I need to start going back to a little bit more of the agency stuff, because I need to actually have more real world experience on how to deal with these types of clients and these types of situations and see what works for me. And then maybe other people can try that. The reason I'm asking the question is because, like, how many people do you get to actually go for the paid discovery piece? Because I've heard that like, it's a really cool idea. It makes total sense on paper, but how many of them actually end up going for that?
Oh, well, that's down to you. If it's over $5,000, and they won't pay for paid discovery, I don't do the job.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking you, like, if you've pitched this to 100 people, how many took it?
Well, it's just I can't actually remember, to be quite frank, because I've only had that position in the last 2 years, because I used to oscillate. And every time I oscillate, when I looked at my profit margin, the actual profit, some of these projects, I was earning minimum wage when I took out the freelancers that were working for me. And obviously it depends on the relation, because some freelancers, subcontractors that are working for you, they have the attitude that they're doing you a favor. They don't want to think this way, that you have brought the client to them. You have done the hunting, you have done the endless Zooms, the endless discussions before pre-signing a contract. You are the individual that has to deal with their complaints or difficult scenarios. They are resentful of the profit that you're making, because they think they're doing all the work. But they don't understand that you're the one that's taking the risk and you brought the client. Other subcontractors understand that. So, but fundamentally, it's down to you. If you make, and there is no right and wrong, because if you need a job to pay your rent that month, you're just going to have to eat it up and not insist on paid discovery, you know. But if you can get the scenario where your basic costs are met every month and you don't have to put up with that bullshit, because fundamentally what the client is saying to you is they want you to take the margin risk. They don't want to take the margin risk. They're asking you to take the margin risk. Well, in the building industry, nobody would take on a large project without a detailed discovery process, because it would lead to bankruptcy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So that's my answer. It's really down to you. Either you're going to let people walk because they won't, or they're going to say yes, you know.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, and Curtis brings up a good point in the chat there, discovery is a requirement. I think that there's different types, obviously. I would think that, you know, the thing that I'm calling on when I put together that thought process right now of like the ideal range of like, you know, seven, you know, let's say like 5 to 20,000. And Kurt's experience has me thinking a little, like, interesting, thinking a little differently.
Interrupt, I need to just clarify. Yeah. Obviously, because we're dealing with membership, community, a lot of customization if you get over 5,000, if you're talking, and I really hate this term, which has become endemic, brochure site, you know, what the hell does that really mean? If you've got a business that's making a lot of income from their website, yeah, it could be not e-commerce, it could be just a brochure site. But if they're doing business to business and their contract's 100,000 plus and they're getting most of those leads from their website. That so-called brochure site is rather important, isn't it? If they're selling a product, business to consumer, and it's only $3 and they're only making $60,000 a year gross profit, right? You're not going to get $5,000 out of somebody that's in that scenario. So it really just depends on what they're making from the website, doesn't it? Really, doesn't it?
Well, that's the thing, and that's kind of the crossroads that I feel like a lot of people are at. It's and myself included. I feel like I have to do a better job if I'm actually going to dive deeply into the agency space in knowing who I'm talking to. It's like you get on the phone with somebody, and it's almost like you either have to know beforehand, or you have to know. Or you literally almost have to ask. I don't know. I'm not saying just ask directly, but you have to have a good vibe of like what their actual like annual revenue is or something, because that's going to, I think there's probably some stats that are going to clearly indicate like, oh, if this is a $1 million business, they're willing to pay at least so much for, you know, their marketing budget, whether or not they have a real marketing budget or not or whatever. Hopefully they do. You know, you can get some ideas there. All I'm saying is I've been on way too many calls and way too many conversations in the past with people that have no money. And then I think for some reason they're going to pay me to build their website. It's a silly spot that I put myself in too many times. And that's why I think that the best clients that I've ever had, they are what I said they are. And again, I haven't dealt with every archetype, but they're a company that is established for maybe 20, 30 years plus. They've made money offline from their referral networks and everything like that for the most part. But like, you know, the one client I'm referencing in my head, they had a one-page Wix website doing absolutely nothing for their business other than just completely being an illusion. They knew that they needed something more. They didn't need anything super extravagant, but we could always do more for them if they do want to go deeper into the digital marketing space. Sell them a website between like $10,000 and $15,000. That is way better than what they had. Absolutely an upgrade. The whole time I'm thinking that in my head, I'm thinking like, this isn't anything crazy, but it's way better than what they had. It is going to move the needle. It's going to make them better, you know, layer in some things to make it better on their end from an operational perspective with, you know, employee application forms and systematizing like lead flow and things like that kind of in there. And then this is the key though. Last point. The key is that client, because whatever, you know, set of variables, they saw me as the expert. They weren't one of these people that like, oh, why are you doing it this way? Or can you do it or whatever? It's like, it's hard to find probably, I'm sure, because everybody's an expert nowadays in websites because it's just on the internet.
Well, they're always
building a skyscraper.
Always hoping,
but, exactly. But like my thing is like, if you can find that is maybe a diamond in the rough, so to speak, and harder to find, but that's who I want to target more of, because it was just a very good process. They appreciated my professionalism and what I was doing and my knowledge. And they also were in a position to actually pay at least a somewhat reasonable sum of money. Now you don't have to do it like that. Obviously there's different forms, but I just think that those ones in particular are the ones that have worked the best for me. And that's the ones that I'm going to try to find more of.
Before we go for a break, I just want to give you this story, Mark. It was about 4 years ago, and they're still the existing client, but they were going to do a redesign of their existing website. And they've been a client of me for kind of maintenance and other jobs for about 3 or 4 years beforehand. And for political reasons and the way I was positioned, blah, 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 they didn't actually see me as a credible resource to rebuild their website. So they went out and for tenure to get quotes. And this is quite a large organization, and they had a budget of about 100,000. And I was quite bitter that I hadn't even been asked for a quote. But I had to just suck it up and just move on, as you do. And it was really fantastic that I wasn't seen as a credible, because they went out to their market and they got a couple of quotes, and they went with a particular digital agency that I actually know quite well. And the quote was probably about 120,000, and they had endless meetings, and I was asked to attend some of those meetings as a favour, and I did. I don't know why, because my thoughts weren't really, my input wasn't listened to, in my opinion. And there was conversation after conversation, and I could see that this project wasn't going well. And a lot of it was down to the client, because the people they put in charge were junior, and a couple of the senior members of staff really excused themselves to avoid responsibility, in my opinion. And it just went pear. It was just going down the wrong route. And to defend the agency, they had loads, which I have mixed feelings about this particular agency, because I really don't get on with the principal of the agency that well. I find him a particularly arrogant individual, highly successful, but extremely arrogant. And they kept saying to the client at these meetings, you know, this won't be done. We're not, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into too much detail. And the client wasn't listening. So when they got the website, they were deeply unhappy with the website. They got their final bill, and it was over budget because of the total scope creep and endless meetings and no decisions being made. Yeah. And they blamed the agency for everything. And like I say, I don't really get on with the principal of this agency, but I'm not going to say facts are facts. Actually, it was the client, not the agency. The reason I'm giving you this story is whatever price point you're at, whatever, this is the experienced agencies that has over 50 staff. Between 50 and 100 people work for this agency. They've got experience facing project managers. It still went totally pear-shaped, and they were thrown under the train, and this organisation will never work with them. Mm-hmm. So whatever price point you're at, you're going to have troubles.
I mean, for sure. I don't think there's like a golden, you know, business model or golden market. And I'm sure there's pros and cons to all of them for sure. I do feel like, from my limited experience, and you guys might have different experience, is this that people with, we'll just call it like less money, like more of the startups and everything like that. Definitely, I like Kurt's model, going around basically locally and starting those things up. My follow-up questions would be like, what's the lifetime value end up being there? And again, it's kind of in some sense, it's like goodwill, because, you know, if it's local and everything like that, you're definitely building rapport with those people. But my thing is, like, I feel that we're in a business to business industry. We're helping other businesses. We're not helping like consumers. So I would like to, if I can, deal with businesses that are going to continue to grow. And I feel like the level of businesses that fail, or the level of people that are like half baked on the idea of actually going the distance, so to speak, to do what it is, you know, obviously, like, you know, again, Kurt, love the model, but I think that there's probably a certain amount of those people that just like stagnate, or they don't grow anymore. Maybe it still works. Obviously, you get the recurring. But my thing is, like, if I can move the needle for people that are, you know, of higher stature, or get, or like the businesses are more mature, if I can get in with those people from, you know, credibility wise here, there, or the stuff that I'm doing on YouTube or whatever, to use that as leverage, I think with me personally, it might be, it's more something that I'm interested in pursuing. And I think it could be better for me, just with all the variables that are me. But is that for everyone? Probably not. You know, I think that it definitely does make sense to go the other route if that's something that speaks to you more, or if you have more leads literally that you could pull from in that realm. I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. Well, it's unique in the small town is, you know, I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce. Jonathan came out to visit. I took him to a startup Hutch meeting. We met, you know, 15, 20 other business owners. But if you become part of the community and you build, because I know that you work from a consultative standpoint too, right? So you consult with these people, you stay in touch with them, you have a relationship, that lifetime value does continue to grow. And if you build the starter version, you know what it is. So if you want to expand it and add tools and develop it, you can have a lifetime value that continues to increase at a pace that matches their growth, which to me is, I'm in it for the long haul with these startups, which makes it a whole lot more fun.
Yep. Mm. We're going to go for our break. I think we've had a good discussion in the first half. Half waffle done. Mark's listened. Mark's asked his questions. And we're going for our break. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a great discussion. Before we go into the second half, if you're looking for a great hosting partner that has deep roots in the WordPress community, why don't you look as a WordPress professional at Hosting with WP Tonic. We specialize in membership, learning management systems, and BuddyBoss websites and their demands. We offer a ton of value. If that is of interest to you, go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Fill in the form. We can have a chat and we can build something special together. So I think it's part of the first discussion, and I just thought it's a great industry if you can get some success. It's a great WordPress community as well. It's definitely got very open. There's a lot of fabulous, great people in it. Obviously, every industry has some that are not so great. But in general, I think the WordPress community and the caliber of people over the years I've had on this podcast has been impressive. So I don't want it to come across as a downer. But the reality is it's really easy to get into web design and development to some degree. It's much harder to make a consistent living at it. It's a brutal industry, but you know, a lot of industries are brutal. But how do you see AI changing this? Because this has been a big discussion in the WordPress professional market, hasn't it? And it's all over the place. Now, Matt Medeiros has done a couple of things about this, but you've had a little while to have some thoughts about it. Have you come to any concrete conclusions where you think things are going?
Yeah, I can't predict the future, but honestly, I'm...
Oh, Tony, you know it.
Not unfortunately, I wish I could. But I think that I'm honestly, I don't want to say I'm pessimistic, but I'm definitely like not optimistic about the majority of web designers. So if we be completely objective here, it's easy to get into web design, and everybody and their mom like kind of thinks they're like a web designer in a way, right? Now, I'm all for people continuing to get in and learn and everything. I just think that when you get in, you need, especially right now, if you're getting into this, you need to have the right mindset. You need to realize that there's only a few more years before like AI can actually build like a solid thing. It can already do that. There's already products in WordPress specifically that are type some stuff in and you get like, you know, the block editor version of a very simple website. Now, do they look a little cookie cutter to us? Yes. But I spoke in that video, like we were talking about in the beginning, I spoke in my live stream recently. I don't know if clients like really care that much because there's so many websites out there and a lot of them do look similar. I don't know if they care that much about like the beautiful design aesthetic and everything like that. A good business owner is going to care if it makes money for them, either directly or indirectly, like we were talking about. So I would probably continue. This is like every other industry. If you're not taking it seriously, you're probably going to get screwed and you're probably going to find it way harder to make money. If you do actually want to do right by your clients, if you want to make them money and understand this is a B2B industry and you have to benefit them, you're probably going to be fine. I do think, though, that AI is changing so rapidly that we're almost like, we all see it, but we're not like internalizing how fast it's moving. And, you know, I guess fortunately, unfortunately, like I'm young and I'm going to see like a lot more of stuff happen. But like, I do think my life is going to be very different by the time I'm 40, like in 11 years, like it's going to be like, there's a lot more technology. The only saving grace here, the main saving grace is I look at my Twitter feed, my X feed, and I'm like, there's a lot of stuff going on that I should probably be paying attention to. The beautiful part and, you know, whatever part, because we know this, the clients, the prospects that we might be talking to, if I can't keep up, there's 0% chance that they're keeping up with like the concepts. So the good part about that is that we just need to be a little bit further ahead of them, and we could leverage the tools that we're afraid of possibly. That's the first part. The somewhat bad part is that you're going to get clients be like, oh, can't AI do this? Like we were talking about earlier where it's real simple or whatever. So that's going to be a little bit of a hard conversation and education piece. But I think ultimately that this is going to continue to change heavily. And I think that we're not that far off from like the less serious web designers being like, I'm either just going to have to use the AI tools or I'm going to have to do something else, because they're changing super rapidly. And I don't think everyone's in danger, but you know, again, I would say the non-serious ones need to really be cognizant.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you to some extent. But I want to leave that to hopefully some bonus content we got to do, because Kirk has to leave just before 10 for another online duty he's got to do. So hopefully we can discuss that. But what I would say, and I want to get Kirk's input on this, is there's certain things that I agree with you, Mark, but but the main thing is, I think the people that are listening to this podcast and the people that watch your content, which is aimed at the WordPress professional, web design professional, it's a bubble. It's a bubble. It's a bubble of people that are really interested in AI, that use prompts. I use a ton of AI technology. But we're in a bubble. When you're talking to the startups, small businesses that Kirk's talking to, when I talk to people outside this bubble, this echo chamber, let's go back to the title of your video, the echo chamber. We're living in a bubble to some degree. What do you reckon, Kirk? Because I think it's a bubble, it's echo chamber to some degree.
I agree with the bubble concept and the idea of AI fatigue that the general public senses. You know, you open up your email and there's 25 email messages in there about, you know, the death of Opus AI, the death of whatever, you know, this new tool that's going to, you know, the death of YouTube. No, there's no death of YouTube. Stop with the nonsense. And I think that people are getting a little bit like stop with the nonsense about some of these AI tools. But when I think about web development for clients specifically, I think about the awesome tool that, you know, Cadence put out, or the relationship that ZipWP has with Astra. And the idea that we used to create, you know, hey, pick from this template. And now we say, what's the company name? What's a paragraph about the company? Select these pictures, select your layout, shbam, you know, and it works. Do you still need to fix it? Yeah, just like everything else.
Yeah, but Kirk, I don't really see that as any, it moves on. The difference between having a large library of templates and that, it might move on the need for customization by 10, 15%, but I don't really, it's really impressive.
But I tend to think that
does it achieve getting anything for the client that they, because we're both, me and Kirk are in the e-learning space, and there's a couple online forums stroke Zooms that I regularly attend, and so does Kurt. And all is a large mixture of other professionals with a mixture of end users trying to build their businesses online. And they get totally fixated about technology, and they totally lose the plot of what they should be really focused on is actually marketing and actually getting some end users that buy their product.
Build and sell.
And they don't, they get totally ensnared in buying the right plugin or that, and they have absolutely no focus about how they're going to get actual people to buy their product. Then what is the point? Unless you have a certain amount of qualified leads coming to your website and the message on the website actually gets those people to do some action, isn't it all a waste of time, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about freelancers, I talked about this earlier, was the technician concept. I think a lot of people found out how to build websites and then they tried to build a business from that. And that could work if you spend enough time in the, you know, the entrepreneurial sense of it. Like, you, if you know how to build websites, that doesn't mean you know how to build an agency, right? And I'm speaking kind of even for myself a little bit, because that's how I started. So you have to like realize that, like you just said, Jonathan, there's a lot more than just being able to put the pixels where they need to or do dynamic data or whatever like that. So to mold that with the AI conversation, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I personally just think that we're literally trying to predict the future here and see what's going to happen. I think that I don't think it's so much of a bubble as in we're like all early adopters to this, and eventually, like, it's on phones. Like it's like there is going to be AI in every aspect of life. Now, how long is it going to take for, you know, the random person down at the grocery store to be using it heavily? I don't know. Do I think, though, that a lot of business owners are going to like go and build their own websites with AI? I see where you're coming from there. But if they understand how much time and money that might save them, maybe. I don't think we're going to have a ton of business owners building their own websites with AI. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of other pieces of it that are going to make it faster. Like, now what I do is I now like speak into this AI and it gives me like better copy to write and better different things like that. There's just a lot of things that like have improved my quality of life. As soon as you get the layperson seeing that, if they can tune AI to be more beneficial for an average person, they're definitely going to use it. Are they all going to be building websites? Not necessarily. But then we're going to have an issue of...
This is just my opinion. A company that really is focused on wanting to grow their business, that is time poor. The last bloody thing they want to do is mess around with a website, because they're busy doing proposals, going out, meeting customers, dealing with customers' complaints or inquiries and running their businesses. The only people that want to mess around with this stuff are the power DIY types, or the people that haven't got a budget. Anybody that is running a real business that's dealing with the 1,000 issues that I have to do every week, they do not... Obviously, there's some tight people that don't want to spend any money. There always are. There's always... And you get this in the motor car industry. I go back. You know, you get somebody that's bought a $100,000 BMW and he doesn't want to pay $1,000 to have a brake job. He will do the brakes himself. I've met those types that they're always around. They want top dollar for themselves and they expect everybody else to work for minimum wage. There's a lot of those types around, but... and you got to avoid them like the plague, because you don't want to do any business with them, because you're not going to make any money. But I think the other types, they're looking for value, but they're looking for a result. And I actually think AI makes the situation even worse, not better. But that's just my opinion. Let's go, because Kurt's got to go off soon. So let's go to question 6 and then we can wrap it up. And are you okay for some bonus content, Mark? Or do you?
For sure. Yeah.
Let's go off to question 6 of our list. So if you had your own time machine, H.G. Wells, and you can go back and you could tell yourself like one thing at the start of your web design career, little tip, apart from not coming on this podcast, Mark, but not allowed. What would you tell yourself, Mark?
I can't remember what I said the first time I got asked this question, but I'd probably tell myself something.
So
I'd probably tell myself something different, yeah. I think what I'd tell myself now is be a better, focus more on the business thing, get myself out of the business as fast as possible. I never focused on that part, and I think I need to focus on that now, because I don't think I want to be a technician for the rest of my life. It's an important skill, but I think I want to remove myself a little bit more from it and still know it, but ultimately like focus on driving revenue, because I've never done that. So
yeah, well, that's my only focus at WP Tonic is to promote the business online. That's all. I could save money. I could do a fair bit of the work myself. My only focus is promoting WP Tonic and getting leads. That's all I do every week. And that's all I'm focused on, because that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. And you can't be a technician and also do the marketing successful. You can only do that as a subcontractor, where your that model works, but that has its problems. But if you're going to go to business to business or business consumer, you've got to have somebody that's just focused on lead generation, and, you know, because otherwise it ain't going to work out for you, in my opinion. So, Mark, what's the best way for people? Let's start with Kirk. Sorry, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Kurt?
For business, mañana no más. Anything that is mañana no más online typically leads to me. And then, in our services. And if you just want to connect person to person, LinkedIn is the jam. I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn. When you get there, you know you got me.
So, Mark, what's the best way for people to follow you and find out more about your content that you're producing every week?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube, Mark Szymanski, if you can spell that. Easiest way to find all my stuff.
Well, it's not spelling, it's pronouncing it, but I think I've done a better job this episode, haven't I?
Easy. Yeah, if you don't want to spell it, you can just go to mjs.bio, and that's all my links and everything there, so that's the easiest way. Appreciate you guys having me. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been a blast. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to have some bonus content when we're going to discuss the online reality, basically a bit more about AI and also about how to get leads, and the internal plugin WordPress community, where we find ourselves in 2020, beginning of 2025 in February. It should be a great discussion. You can find this bonus content by going over to the wp-tonic.com YouTube channel. And also subscribe to that channel. That would be really fantastic. So we'll have the main part interview plus the bonus content on there. We will be back next week with our roundtable show, which is always fun and controversial. We take the mickey out of everything and everybody. So that should be great. And we'd love you to join that as well. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.